Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and today on the program I'll be talking with Barbara Lunsford, author of the true crime book Killer for Hire, the final chapter of the Alabama Twins murder case, published by Mystery Crimes. Barbara Lunsford was introduced to the now infamous Alabama Twins murder case in 1997. She became intrigued with the case because even though both twins were tried with the same circumstantial evidence and the testimony of one con man, one twin was convicted and the other was acquitted. Convinced that the convicted twin was innocent, Barbara set up an extensive website seeking new evidence to help the incarcerated twin, which resulted in a witness coming forward. But the witness was betrayed by the antics of three individuals, which we have come to know now as the Three Stooges, a backwoods Southern lawyer, a dim-witted college professor, and a two-bit PI, according to Barbara. So this incident inspired Killer for Hire, the final chapter of the Alabama Twins murder case. So I have Barbara on the phone today, and I just want to welcome you, Barbara, to Inside Scoop Live.
I'm glad to be here, Juanita.
Great. So when did this murder actually take place?
Dr. Wilson was murdered on May the 22nd, 1992.
1992.
In Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay. So, and you, had you heard about this case prior to the 97?
That's when I heard about it. A friend of mine had been reading a book that had already been written about the case, and she had been working with Betty for a couple of years, you know, trying to get new appeals and basically try to help her get out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
She had read the book by Jim Schutz, by Two and Two, and I eventually read the book and I got hooked.
So what was it about that book that just inspired you so much? Obviously, there was an influence.
It was just the total injustice.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable injustice. And at that time, I thought most people deserved to be in prison. But since that time, I found out there are a lot of innocent people behind bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is an unfortunate aspect of the justice system right now. Well, you know, obviously we all hear of injustices. Why did you decide to actually get involved to the point that you did?
Well, my friend kept pushing me, okay?
Okay.
She kept pushing me, and I finally gave in and read the book. And then, like I said, it was just such a terrible injustice. And I'm kind of a justice fighter for justice, so.
Mm-hmm.
I dove in head first.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long has Betty Wilson been in prison at this point?
When I got involved,
mm-hmm.
Her trial was February 1993, so
okay.
Made it about 4 years.
So at this point, she's been in for 15 years.
Right.
That's incredible. Okay, so let's get listeners up to date on this crime. You know, I know that there's books out about it. It's been on TV programs. I think there was even a movie put out about it, but not everyone is going to be familiar with this crime. So tell us about this story, about this crime that you write about in your book.
Okay. Betty Wilson had returned home from an AA meeting. She was a recovering alcoholic. And she went up the stairs to their upstairs bedroom and found Dr. Wilson lying in a pool of blood. She ran next door and called 911, and the police arrived. And the police interviewed the family and everything and eliminated them. And some woman in Shelby County called the Shelby County Sheriff's Office and said that her friend had been talking about going to Huntsville to kill a rich doctor. So the police arrested James Dennison White. He was the delusional schizophrenic.
Mm.
Somehow or the other, they didn't have any evidence to prosecute the twins, but he pointed fingers at them, and they helped him put his story together, and then they arrested both the twin sisters, Betty Wilson and Peggy Lowe, and these women had done nothing but try to be kind to this man, especially Peggy. And Betty was tried first and sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole. And we sincerely believe that it was because of the prosecution tossed in a racist card. She had had an affair with a black man, and the prosecution called him to testify about nothing more than their affair, and the jury from that point on said she was guilty. Because of, at that time, a white woman sleeping with a black man in Alabama was a death sentence. So, and then Peggy was tried second, and because of her saintly character and good lawyering, she was acquitted. The most dynamic thing that was brought out in her case was, they called a independent forensic expert to test, view the crime scene photos and autopsy report. And he surmised that the doctor was not killed there.
Really?
Because of the lack of blood splatter and the missing, pints of the doctor's blood. And, he was beaten so severely that it had to have been done by more than one person. And White has never really, confessed to killing the doctor.
He hasn't.
No. He said, at one of the trials, he said, he didn't know whether he killed the doctor or not, but he knew something about the situation, therefore he thought that's why he should deserve to be in prison.
Really? So this case at this point is just, it's closed, and they it's under the understanding that James White was the killer?
He was sentenced to life in prison with a chance of parole. And but he has recanted his trial testimony numerous times, but it's just fallen on deaf ears. So
isn't that interesting? So where, you know, Betty has hopes of being acquitted still at this point, does she not? Is there the possibility if new evidence can surface?
I think her one and only chance went down the tube when Dennis Johnson was betrayed. He could have proved, see, he came along and could prove that what Dr. Chris Berry had testified to, that there were more than one person involved in the murder.
But they can't use that evidence now.
Well, they messed it up. That Backwood Southern lawyer messed it up. He wasn't satisfied that Dennis Johnson didn't know the legal names of these three people, so he sent a two-bit PI down to Florida to get him to sign an affidavit stating some names that weren't real names. And of course, Dennis refused to sign the affidavit because it went against his deposition. And this Watson guy, the PI, forged his signatures, took it back to the lawyer, and he filed it with a petition for a new trial. And of course, when the state's attorney general's office got a hold of that affidavit and compared it to the deposition, well, it just blew the whole thing. And of course, Dennis was more or less the state's answer to the petition was, if he testified, he could be arrested for conspiracy murder.
Wow.
So the judge, and of course, Dennis refused to testify, and the judge denied the hearing.
There are so many details to this case.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, really. I know that at one point you had an entire website that was dedicated to the trial and this case with just like unbelievable amounts of documents that
it's that, back up.
It is back up. So
yes,
what is that website, Barbara?
It's hankford.com/Betty Wilson.
Hankford.com/Betty Wilson.
Right.
Great. I know you were thinking about putting that back up there. So tell us a little bit about Dr. Wilson. Who was he in this community?
He was about 5 foot four and weighed 122 pounds. He was a very small man and had a wonderful sense of humor. He loved to play practical jokes, and his patients just worshipped him because he was such a fine man. He would treat the indigent people and tell them he'd put them on his 90-year payment plan and things like that. So his patients just dearly loved him. And of course, Betty Wilson did love him, but she had a sex problem that the doctor reached the point where he couldn't satisfy because he had Crohn's disease and had to have a colostomy and wear a bag. So he lost interest in sex. So he told Betty, well, it's just sex, you know, go do what you have to do. Anyway.
So was he considered a very well-liked person
very
in this
well
community?
Liked. Very well-liked. And, of course, Betty was a loud-mouthed bitch. And, of course, during her drinking years, she was had a real bad reputation. But she did good things, too, you know.
I'm sure she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Betty?
No, I haven't ever had the chance to meet Betty Wilson.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, I know the research process has been extensive for you. How have you corresponded with her?
For years, we just corresponded through the mail. Mm-hmm. And my friend that introduced me to the case had at one time had telephone privileges. So.
Are you still in contact with her?
With Betty?
Yeah.
Not at this time because when she got this backwoods Southern lawyer and his dim-witted college professor on board, we were sent a cease and desist letter.
Okay.
You know, we were not to talk to anybody about the case, but I don't pay attention to stuff like that.
So when you were corresponding with her, was there what was that like for you? You know, here is a woman that you feel has been wrongly.
Well, because I was trying to build this website, I would ask her many questions about the case and about the people who had testified against her.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people from AA who testified against her. You know, and that goes strictly against AAO,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't seem to bother them.
So was there a process of getting to know her and building trust through this whole research?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I hope she trusted me. She said she always looked forward to my letters.
Mm-hmm. Did she know you were writing a book, Barbara?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if she knows or not.
So at any point, was there ever any doubt for you that she was innocent?
Not even when she turned against us. Betty is a bitch. There's no question about it, but she's not a murderer.
So here we have, this is just such a interesting case. You know, we've got two sisters, Betty and Peggy. Now, what about Peggy? Have you ever had contact with Peggy?
Yes, in the beginning I did have contact with Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
But Peggy got involved with a professor from the University of Alabama, and it kind of went down the tube.
Okay.
I can't blame Peggy it's like she and her husband at the time, they lived in a fishbowl. You know, the news media was always after them. It got to where they didn't even want to answer the phone. Mm. So, you know, I can understand why she would want to go in hiding. And,
I'm sure.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Barbara Lunsford, author of Killer for Hire, the final chapter of the Alabama Twins murder case. You can find out more about Barbara through her website, hankford.com/Betty Wilson, or mysterycrimescene.com. So there were so many strong racial undertones in this case, and I know that there's been talk of KKK involvement, and, you know, all of this was actually used against Betty as a possible motive to kill her husband, you know, the infidelity thing. Tell us a little bit about the racial undertones of this case.
Well, the only thing I can say is that when Betty was, prior to her hearing, she was in a solitary confinement cell, a very, very small cell. She wasn't allowed to see anybody, and one day some guy walked by and peered through the tiny little window to her cell and said, "I just wanted to see what a bitch that would fucking looks like." Mm. You know, stuff like that.
Right, so pretty crass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tuscaloosa in the 90s, early 90s, that was the headquarters for the KKK. And why they moved her trial, they had a change of venue for her from Huntsville, Alabama, because that's where the case occurred. They moved it to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And whose brilliant brainstorm that was, I don't know, but kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never understand how her defense permitted that black lover to even appear in court and testify. He had nothing to do with the murder. Nothing. He knew nothing about it. He was called just to testify that he had an affair.
So do you think that is what basically ended that case for Betty?
I think I have no doubt. Betty said that when they called him to the witness stand, she said she saw the jurors change. And from that point forward, she knew she didn't have a chance.
Isn't that interesting? So I understand that there's been speculation towards the doctor's ex-wife and her son and them having a possible motive for murder. What are your thoughts towards the ex?
They were really the only ones who had a motive. Money. As soon as Dr. Wilson was murdered, his ex-wife and her son and Dr. Wilson's sons by his marriage to her filed civil suits against the estate.
Hmm.
His ex-wife was very jealous of Betty because of all the things that Dr. Wilson had provided for her, you know, fur coats, jewelry, BMW, Mercedes, while she had to work two jobs just to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And, her son, who Dr. Wilson had adopted, he was something else. Very dangerous person.
Hmm. Did that ever come out in the trial?
No.
Really?
When that woman called the Shelby County Sheriff's Office and pointed a finger at James White, the case was over. The police had their killer, and then he introduced them to the twin sisters. Well, they had a sensational case here. Open and shut.
Why?
And it was an election year.
It makes me wonder why they would want to put Betty in jail and not look, you know, to an air of possible suspects where there would be very, very strong motive. There seems to be something missing from this story. You know what I mean?
Well, the homicide investigator made a big deal about the fact that Betty withheld one name, one lover from her list that she gave them. She gave it to him voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then she felt guilty about withholding this black guy's name, so she called and told the homicide investigator that she had left one name off.
Mm.
And he just so happened to be a Pentecostal part-time preacher in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how did that play into?
He wanted her. He wanted her. Her prostitute. He wanted to get her.
Oh,
and that's why they pressured James White so much. They kept threatening him with the electric chair.
Wow.
If he didn't help them.
Wow. So no possibility at this point you know, to have another trial? Her appeal.
I don't see
exhausted.
How she can. They just recently filed another. It's called a Rule 32 petition based on some things from her original trial. And I, when I heard about it, I knew there wasn't a snowball's chance in Hades. You know.
Mm-hmm. So why put this book, Killer for Hire, out at this point? What were your intentions with putting this information out into the public?
I guess just to prove that there's not any justice in Alabama. I don't know. I don't really know.
Mm.
It's just a story that I felt needed to be told because I couldn't believe what the Three Stooges did. I just could not believe what they did. They jeopardized Betty's, in my opinion, one and only chance of ever seeing the outside walls of that prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me angry. Mm-hmm. So I guess, was it anger my motive? I don't know.
Well, so what do you, I mean, it sounds like you feel that there is just corruption in the whole Alabama justice system. I mean, that it really.
Oh, I'm sure it's everywhere, but it seems to be, since I was involved in this case and studying it, it just seemed to be unbelievable how corrupt they are.
So did you ever fear for your safety when you got involved with this case or any time throughout the research?
No, no, I don't, because I have a gun and I know how to use it.
Well, good for you, Barbara. Oh, that's...
Just come on, bud.
Oh, so do you, you know, if you had to do this all over again, because, I mean, the research process really must have been incredible for you.
The research I did was primarily for that website. I had, when I started this thing, hadn't even crossed my mind about writing a book. The Three Stooges incident was what prompted it, and I thought, well, I've already done most of the research here, so why not try?
So this was has actually been your first book.
This is my first and most probably my last.
Your
unless I can run Dennis Johnson down and write a book about him. He's probably one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Tell
us more about him.
He's was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he got shot down a couple of times over there, spent 6 months in the Hanoi Hilton. Then after that, he spent about 20 years doing undercover work for the FTA. He has some really interesting stories.
I'm sure.
Very interesting.
So this is an area with mystery and crime that is obviously something that you're very interested in.
Apparently so.
Yeah. So would you ever do it again? You know, this the deep research process. I don't know if a book.
I'm getting too old for that.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I got better plans. My mystery crime scene website's going to take up most of my time and hopefully will be more profitable.
Well, tell us about that website. What can we find on mysterycrimescene.com?
Just about everything related to mystery. I've got mystery crime books that include true crime, fiction, crime scene games, crime games, video games. Do-it-yourself law. I've got a section for injustice. I've got Betty Wilson on that section, plus two other people. One of them happens to live here in, well, but the other two happen to live here in Texas.
Okay.
So you see, I mean, injustice isn't just limited to Alabama. It's in my home state. What else? I know that I have a lot of stuff on
you
there.
You do. You have quite a bit on there. So you really are a crusader for justice. I think that should be somewhere up on your website as well.
You think so?
I really do. I really do. Well, this has been just so great talking with you, Barbara. I mean, this case is almost overwhelming to me, and you've spent so many years just knowing the ins and outs and the intricacies. I mean, it really, really is incredible. So was there anything that you wanted to mention about your book that I seem to miss out today?
I think you've covered everything quite nicely, Juanita.
Okay, great. So can readers purchase your book through mysterycrimescene.com?
The best place for them to go would be hankford.com/Wilson.
Okay.
Because it's kind of buried in the true crime section on the mystery crime.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is it available through online and
It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books and Print.
Okay. Okay, great. So it's available everywhere. Well, wonderful,
mm-hmm.
Barbara. Well, I hope you do write another book at some point. I think you have another one in you.
I do, if I can run down Dennis Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. That would be a story in itself.
I'm telling you, it would. It really would. As a matter of fact, he's the one that what happened to him inspired me writing this book. If it hadn't have been for that, the antics of the Three Stooges, I don't think I would have ever written it. So
how did you feel? Just one last question here. Once you wrote this book and actually had it in your hand, I mean, it's such an amazing feat to publish a book. You know, did you feel a sense of relief, or what was your feeling after doing
that? Well, believe it or not, I had worked on it for 3.5 years, and I finally reached a point that I couldn't afford to spend any more money to pay editors to make it better, so I just took the plunge and published it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really big endeavor to publish your own book, and we definitely
that in itself has been a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, the second book is easier.
Oh,
you learn a lot with the first book, from what I hear. I haven't written one, but I've talked to a lot of first time authors, and that's what they say.
It is an absolute learning experience, and believe me, I have read just about everything I could get my hands on. I tried to go the traditional publisher's way, you know, creating a synopsis and an outline and submitting it to literary agents, and I figured just I'd be 80 or 90 by the time I finally got somebody to take it on, so I went the self-publishing route.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, we hope much success for you and getting this book out there into the public, and who knows what could happen. You know, a witness may come up, there may be some additional evidence, and you just never know when a case can be reopened.
Well, there is a possibility that something might happen. I got an email from a young lady who knew Perry Wilson. That's the adopted son of Dr. Wilson.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she firmly believes that he had something to do with her father's death.
Right.
So she's been digging.
Interesting.
I don't know if anything might come of it or not.
Well,
you never know.
Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Thank you, Barbara. Really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
The interview. You take care.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, listeners, I've been talking with Barbara Lunsford. Her new book, Killer for Hire, the final chapter of the Alabama Twins murder case, can be found through mysterycrimescene.com and actually ordered through hankford.com/Betty Wilson. And it can be ordered through local and online booksellers. So I hope you've enjoyed this interview today. I'm Juanita Watson. Thank you so much for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. Until next time.
Blog Talk Radio.